meeting, city council meeting of order, and for the governor's executive orders, we are conducting this meeting via Zoom. I have the pledge of allegiance, what's our pledge, start it, and I'll turn it over and I'll hear the question.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we good?
Roll call, please, in the chairs.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Any amendments? Seeing none. No presentations tonight, no public hearings. Any citizens' comments on agenda items? Hearing none, we'll move on to a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote.
Coke.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Moving on to mayor's report number one. Make a motion to approve the assignment of development agreement for the old jail project at 111 West Madison Street.
So moved. Second.
Any questions? Chris?
Is there an assignment document or?
Kathy was comfortable with doing this.
The assignment document are via letters. There is a letter from Attorney Kramer that says the document has been assigned. More importantly, for our records, is the acknowledgement and signature of the purchaser that they're responsible for the obligations under the agreement. So because of that, I recommend proceeding.
Okay, so the motion is to acknowledge both parties' request.
Agreed.
And that's enough.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call vote.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Coke.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Public Works Committee. You sure? Public Works?
You
do.
It says Public Works on here, the radio.
Oh, sorry, yes, that's correct. I apologize. Thanks, Chris, for moving that to me. My bad. I'm sorry, I do have one.
Okay.
BW 2023-23, which is a motion to approve Engineering Enterprises Incorporated hourly rates as specified in the 2023 standard schedule of charges.
Second.
Any questions? Comments? They did tighten this up for us, so thank you very much. Roll call vote.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Coke.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Economic Development Committee report.
Motion to approve an ordinance approving the economic incentive agreement between the United City of Yorkville and the Marker Incorporated, the Q Development Incorporated, Scott and Lisa Schuster, and John Wolfling, Partners for the Subdivision, and authorize the mayor city clerk to execute.
I mean, this was originally 5 years. It's gone down to one.
Need a second.
Oh.
Need a second.
Yeah.
You could do it.
We need a second.
I'll second it. Okay, so this was originally 5 years in committee. It got brought down to one. Me and Coke were in favor. Chris was not, but we decided to move it out. Anybody else have any questions?
Yes, technically this came out of committee only by our decision to move it out with a negative recommendation based on our discussions to bring it out for full discussion here. But yes, there is a negative recommendation on it after our discussion, which was quite lengthy on the issues of how this came about. There were several years that they could have prepaid. Staff had communicated with them several times, I understand, that they had the opportunity, they chose not to prepay. That's where my position was. Opportunities were given, they chose not to. This is one of those that there are a lot of other developments that do not have this reduction. And we've received kind of the same kind of thing, request coming in potentially as they expire. It's, what was the difference, $5,000 of the reduction? So based on their average price that is in the packet, that's about 0.9% of the total sale price for that savings that they're looking to have locked in for the initial year or as they requested 5 years.
Any other questions?
Has anybody given the idea that they would consider it prepaid, or is it just?
Yes, that was communicated to the developer in the past.
Yeah. Have they responded back? They seem willing to do that?
The last time we had asked them, they said that they weren't prepared to do that this time. So they may, you know, in a year from now, this is approved, but they had previously declined.
Is this the first extension of the fee lock that they're requesting?
For this subdivision, I believe so, yes.
The fee lock expired in November 2022.
So these rates have been locked in for a substantial period of time?
Yes.
Have other developments, I noticed in the memo that Grand Reserve, Wooden Ridge, Caledonia, Country Place, they got an extension on their rate locks?
Yeah, we've approved a few over the past few years, anywhere from 3 to 5 years, usually accompanied with the development plan or some sort of, you know, development obligation negotiation, payment of park fees, etc. This is the first one that I can recall that was kind of a stable fee.
South Country Hills, which was several years ago, 2018.
Okay. So one other pending.
But those extensions were granted for the other developers in exchange for some consideration?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the 2014 one would have been done at the kind of the low point of our building permits. It was definitely an incentive to kickstart development at that time.
Anybody else? One other question I have is, are the stubbins already in, Eric? Okay. So the B boxes are in, stubbins are in.
Nope.
All right, so we've already paid for that. All right. Any other questions? Roll call vote.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Nay.
Soling?
Nay.
Merrick?
Aye.
Koch?
Nay.
Plocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
And that is?
Not to vote for, against, which is what happens. Mayor can vote, he's here.
Yeah, you can make.
Yeah, we need you to vote. We only have 4 negative. We have 4 against and 3 for. We need you to vote in your presence.
You need me to vote?
Yes.
Yeah. Even though it will pass?
No, it's, you need, it.
It requires 5 votes.
Correct.
There's only 3 affirmative votes, so it can't pass.
It can't pass, yeah. Right.
So then no, he doesn't need to vote.
All right, we can go.
You're good.
Whenever you require more, whenever there's person absent on you state requiring the mayor to vote, you get a pass.
So if I don't see the vote?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay, I'm not there yet, and you're not with us.
You are here. You're counted as present.
Right. You gotta click off if you don't want to be here.
No, you are counted as present.
Okay, move on.
All right.
Motion fails.
Motion fails. All right, so.
We only had 3 yet.
Yep, that's it. All right. Public Safety Committee report.
No report.
Administration Committee report.
No report.
Park Board report?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Just a reminder, the second weekend of the Yorkville St. Patrick's Day celebration is this Saturday. It starts at 9 o'clock with a leprechaun hunt. And on 11 a.m. is the Irish Parade. Those are all downtown Riverfront Park area. And then at 7 p.m. is the fireworks show at our 47th Countryside Parkway.
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Planning and Zoning Commission.
No report.
City Council report. No report. City Clerk report.
No report.
Community and Liaison report. Yes.
With regards to YBST, tree removal began last week along River Road. That's for the expansion of the solid handling building. So if you turn down there, you'll see it extends from the beginning of the property almost all the way down across from the P&A camp. That's pretty extensive tree work. So that's going to begin construction here in the next month and a half as regards to the library. There is a interesting seminar coming up on Military Healthcare 101 on March 1st at 11 a.m. It's a program designed to help veterans combine military benefits along with Medicare to ensure better healthcare at lower costs. So for all our vets out there, it's something worthwhile.
Yeah, March or April 1st?
That's, I got that listed as March 21st.
Oh, March 21st, okay.
At 11 a.m. The spring break programs are scheduled to begin March 27th. And another interesting online presentation we're going to have is Tacos Hollywood and Redemption Online with Danny Trejo, Tuesday, April 14th at 7 o'clock. Apparently, he's got a couple of cookbooks out. He's doing the rounds of the public library circuits and to discuss his time in Hollywood along with Kazee.
Should be interesting. Anybody else? All right. Staff reports.
No further reports.
Mayor report number two, city building update.
The only update I have on our Prairie Point project is we did get confirmation of shipment of our final necessary networking equipment today. So we are on task, hopefully, for an April 21st move-in date. So that is where we're marshaling resources. There's still a lot of planning efforts to go into it. We have not picked any dates for ribbon cuttings or open houses or anything yet. That will come out here in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks. Water study update.
Nothing other than what's in the budget presentation. So I'll pass on that.
Okay. So, fiscal year 2024 budget presentation.
Okay budget financially. So in blue is where we were last year. This was our best five-year budget in a number of years. Those of you that have been around for a couple terms now, we've always kind of said $3 to $5 million in our aggregate city fund balance is fiscal distress. That is not being able to pay vendors on time, having to talk through different cuts to services, employees, and we are far away from that over this entire five-year budget. So we anticipate that for the most part we're going to be right around or above $10 million in aggregate cash between all of our budgets over the five-year period. So that is positive. So big picture, just our general fund, we're above 46% and 40% beyond. Our fund balance policy is 30%, so that's excellent. Even when you factor in the TIF fund, negative fund balances in Countryside, and then the downtown TIF 1 and 2, we're still above fund balance policy at 30%, which is great. So if you had to make a decision at some point in the next few years, basically to absorb that negative fund balance, you could without causing the general fund much of an issue. As we talked about in the last meeting, the water fund is 26% in fiscal year 24, but that relies on our policy decision. That's in place of the meeting tax versus staggered water rate increase. And then fiscal year 25 and beyond depends on what we do with Lake Michigan project, which again is going to be $100 million plus of expenditures over a 4 or 5 year period that has to be funded through loans and then paid back with water rate increases or other revenue sources that we identify. So again, our aggregate budget outlook is actually the best it's been in years, despite all these large projects. But it does rely on some policy decisions that we talked about in the past, and the things that we're going to have to talk about with Lake Michigan in the next several months. So again, revenue growth projections continue to be strong. We're budgeting conservatively on the revenue side, and revenues are still exceeding expectations for the most part, which is great. So you have the flexibility to be able to make decisions with years of advance notice in a best case scenario, or if something really happens, there's another great recession, etc., you can make things with a relatively tight time frame and still be okay financially, which was not the case 10 or 15 years ago when we went through the Great Recession. We've got the public infrastructure facilities, that's public works and parks, without any revenue increases in there. So we've got a $30 million debt issuance. The debt service for that split between a bunch of different departments. So if you decide to build the ultimate building, which again is another policy decision for everybody, or shrink it, we're showing that you can afford and pay for the worst case scenario there. So of course we always save money dedicated to other projects if we need to. We are fully funding water, sewer, and infrastructure projects, the full capital improvement plan, with the exception, obviously, of our subdivision cluster, which we talked about the last meeting. So we left that off the books, so it's not in this budget proposal, either the expenditures or the road infrastructure fee increases together. So when you get some feedback on that, we will incorporate it either through your budget amendment before we approve it, or a fiscal year 24 ordinance budget amendment after the fiscal year 24 budget proposal is approved. And then we have a few staff members. So police officers, civilian staff, and evidence custodian, which we'll get into, police records clerk, utility billing clerk, we're getting a new ERP system. We have employees that need to be cross-trained, so we need an additional person here. A planner one, it's a position that we actually laid off, I think, in 2009, and have not rehired since. We have enough land use petitions in front of community development and development issues that we think it makes sense to hire this person now, saying nothing of any project that might come forward in the next several months that might annex or develop or ask for anything in the city. So we'll review that too. So just, I like to show this every year just to give you an idea of where we've come from. So in fiscal year 2006, so it's 16 years ago, we thought that we were okay. Really, we weren't. We had a variety of bad debt on the books, developer obligations, and the cash wasn't there even though we thought that it was at the time. So, it resulted in us running a negative general fund balance for 2 years in a row, which is not good, and not unheard of in the Chicago metropolitan region in this time frame, but certainly we were one of a few. And we built it back up over time through a conscious decision by the city council, past and present, to budget conservatively, spend within their means, and only do what they can afford. And they did have to make some revenue decisions over time. So we've steadily built up that fund balance over time to where we are basically today. And then obviously we talked about, you know, we're doing balanced budgets, so the fund balance should be relatively stable over that period. So again, all the things I'm about to talk about are reflected in this aggregate city budget fund balance, where it shows no fiscal issues, you know, even fiscal year 26 and beyond. So you have a relatively positive financial outlook for the budget, even though you have a lot of projects that we are doing. So those projects include fiscal year 24. I'm not going to read off all of them. Lake Michigan, all the capital improvement plan that we've got in the packet. We listed an exhibit in there. Road to Better Roads program, different streets, a full capital improvement plan on the water, sewer, vehicle replacements, fully funded when they're supposed to come up. Playgrounds, replacing playgrounds when they age out rather than waiting for them to break. And then we have a 2 or 3 year period between when the playground breaks and then when we have to install a new one. And new staff members, including a shared police training coordinator, which is a concept that the chief has been discussing with Oswego, which we'll get into later too. Fiscal year 25, we've got the entire Lake Michigan water source project in the budget, including some WIFIA loans, some IEPA loans, and some other things. And again, full capital improvement plans throughout, including, I'd like to point out, Route 47 Northern Expansion, which the state had told us recently that they are finishing the design on. They plan to bid that out potentially at the end of this calendar year and start in the very near future. So that is good. We have an existing letter of understanding with the state that covers all of our local contributions, including the extensions of the Bristol Bay roadways we talked about, where the state is going to fund about 80% of that figure. So we're going to get quite a good deal out of the state to complete a local improvement there. Comprehensive plan update. So the last one we did was 2016, and we're due to start a new process here. That way we've got like a 10-year window between plans. Land acquisition is something we'll need to talk about. The Parks and Recreation Department has existing cash from land that they've sold. They're going to be getting in an influx of revenue from developers from past development agreements that have been approved. So they're going to be sitting on a small pot of money that they're going to be able to dedicate to land acquisition. And so that discussion needs to be had. What is the scope of that? Is it a park? Is it an open space? Is it a facility? Where does it go? What does it look like? All those things. And the park board will need to provide some guidance on that before it ultimately comes in front of City Council here in the next several months. And then fiscal year 26 and beyond, we've got all the things that we talked about expanded out. So we are planning, 5 years of a capital improvement plan into the future. So a lot of good things there. So, one thing here, just the subdivision cluster. If you remember from the last meeting, we talked about $11 million, 20-something miles of roads that need to be completed here in the next few years. If those roads came up on a normal timeline, they would be somewhere in this 26, 27, 28 timeframe. So you can do them sooner, obviously, and we may make that recommendation depending on how the roads actually look, but that's when they probably will fall in the normal scenario. So again, all of that still results in this aggregate city budget fund balance. So a couple items to note. So Lake Michigan. So Brad and Eric have put together a 5-year plus capital improvement plan. It's the first comprehensive estimate that you guys have seen to switch over to Lake Michigan water source in the next several years. So it includes all these things on the list here, funded in this budget, paid for by different loans, and then water rate increases that we'll have to talk about for other policy decisions. But it is, we hope, front to back, a full plan that includes everything from the studies we're doing now to payments that the DuPage Water Commission is going to ask for this year, upcoming, to the bulk of construction, hopefully occurring in 25 and 26, which, depending on how we negotiate our agreement with the DuPage Water Commission, may result in us having to send them $100+ million, as a security, basically, for their transmission main project. So those are things we have to talk through when we're doing the intergovernmental agreement and all these other things to see what the timing of that is and what the scope of that is. So additionally, the costs that are shown in that exhibit on the memo add up to about $140 million. So there are things in there that we conservatively estimated, years in the future, construction inflation, but also is important under the WIFIA program, which is the federal loan, that when you apply for the loan, you basically lock in your construction estimates, you know, whenever you apply for it. So what they've told us is that a year from now, you know, they want us to have a conservative estimate so that we don't finish the project 6 years from now and say, well, it was more expensive than we thought, and our loans ended up being short of what we needed. So some of those things, we've been communicating $100 to $120 million in total, and then this exhibit is going to show $140 million. So that is us trying to be conservative to make sure that we get numbers in front of the Lithia folks that are appropriately conservative so that we don't run short on loans in the future, which will be its own policy discussion at a later date. So, and again, our fiscal year 24 water fund is dependent upon a place of eating tax versus staggered water rate increase that we talked about last meeting. So we showed it in the line item in the water fund is just policy decision. So it's interchangeable. We said about a 1% place of eating tax on bars and restaurants would generate about $700,000. Then coincidentally, the staggered rate, water rate increases that we approved last year were also worth about $700,000. So we can do one or the other or a combination of both at any amount you like, but we do need that policy decision in the next few weeks. Again, in fiscal year 25 on Lake Michigan, all of these things, including lump sum payments to the Bayes Water Commission for construction. So that's the transmission mains, you know, $100 million. This is the old Bright Farms discussion we had last year. Does the city want to let a contract for the Bright Farms sewer before we receive the money from the developer of $3 million, you know, and proceeding with that contract? You know, or were we going to do it at risk and hope the developer, you know, didn't walk away and not pay us? The Bayes Water Commission is going to have that exact same conversation about us with Lake Michigan, except it's going to be $100+ million instead of $3 million. So just something you have to think about. What's reasonable for their risk? You know, how good are we for the money, for the loans? All those other things have to be considered when we're talking about the interim. So, and then beyond fiscal year 25, we've got an additional $27 million in expenditures. We talked about the Montgomery interconnection for security and emergency use at a public works committee, so that's in there. And then also decommissioning our existing water treatment plants, which is a discussion we haven't had. It's its own multi-million dollar line item in there that we have to talk about. You know, what is the risk of doing so? Do we need to do so? You know, can we still run our wells without the treatment plant in the future in an emergency situation? All those things have to be thought through when we are doing this project. And so here's what this exhibit looks like. And I apologize if you can't see it because it's not zoomed in enough, but this is the exhibit that is in the budget memo that shows $140-ish million of a Lake Michigan water source project. And again, they're conservative. This is like a with the loan exhibit. And this will be reviewed by Public Works Committee, most likely at the next meeting. Okay, moving on. We talked about our policy decisions in the last meeting. This is the road infrastructure fee increase. So pay-as-you-go, you know, for the subdivision cluster versus the bonding, listing out the same scenarios we talked about the last time. You know, if we increase the fee that's on the water bill for roads currently, you might be able to reduce your debt issuance and your annual debt service. Or you can spread out, you know, when those projects are completed, not increase revenues, not issue bonds, but then you're looking at probably a 30-plus year repaving timeline, you know, with the subdivision, which probably isn't acceptable. But those are decisions you'll have to make. Also in there, public works building. I said that I budgeted for the worst case scenario of $30 million. Still requires the city council to review the building plan, how it's laid out, pick the method of construction, how it can be bid out, all these things in the next few months. So it is funded out of three different departments, which is one of the ways it's able to be afforded because the water fund and the sewer fund have employees and they have existing revenue streams that can cover it. And then additionally, we have a proposal in there for an in-house mechanic in fiscal year 27. So we assume the construction of the building is going to take a couple years. We are building out, or we're proposing to build out, a mechanics garage with multiple vehicle bays. If those get struck, we can continue to outsource our vehicle maintenance services and repairs at a potentially increased cost. But that is in there just as a discussion. On home rule status and special census. So I've crunched some numbers. I think our population this month is right around 24,000. That's based on the amount of homes that we've confirmed constructed since the special census was enumerated in the summer of 2020. It's possible that we are far beyond that because we don't exactly know when they visited the house, if somebody had already moved in, if it was constructed and getting ready to be built, and somebody moved in the next week. And, you know, so there's all those variables at play. But in general, when you do a special census, you gain revenue from the state because you're increasing your population, and there's per capita revenues from the state. And the cost of the special census is easily eclipsed by the revenues. But on the flip side to doing it, you know, immediately is WIFIA loans from the federal government are available to us right now because we're less than 25,000 population at 8% of our entire project cost. Montgomery and Oswego do not get that benefit. They're at 49%. So they're going to have to issue more debt and different loan options. So, you know, that is worth potentially, you know, $30 or $40 million to us. In debt issuance that is potentially, you know, flexible from the federal government. So that's a decision we have to make too. Okay, on to our small picture, just a couple items throughout the different funds in the budget. On property taxes, we continue to assume that we're only going to take new construction only. That will be moot in a year or two whenever we decide to do the special census. When we cross home rule status, you do not have the property tax extension limitation law required. A lot of towns will still follow it, but it isn't necessary for us to run that calculation every year. So we assume that we will going forward. Our police pension funds, we continue to follow what our pension fund requests and our actuaries suggest as a proper annual contribution to the fund. We're up to 53%. It's been much lower in the past. It is a young fund, so that's an acceptable number. And as long as we continue to make those annual contributions at whatever they recommend, we should hit our 2040 funding target at 100% funded. So we're on that path to achieve that, which is not that far off. Of note, I'll continue to point this out every year we talk about this, the state law is actually only 90% funded by 2040. So we're actually exceeding the state's minimum standards for police pension funding. Sales taxes, both municipals, so that's our regular 1%, and then our non-home rule sales tax, which was authorized by referendum in 2012 at 1% also, came in right around 3% last year, which is good, considering we saw double-digit increases for 2 years prior. So we have record sales tax revenues, which is good. And we are recommending that we would actually revise our future growth projections down to about 2% year over year. It's more conservative. We're starting to see those numbers trail off a little bit, just because we think more people are traveling, spending their money outside of this region as opposed to everybody preferring to stay home during the pandemic and spending their money locally. On income tax, this is one of the per capita taxes we talked about as part of the home rule special census discussion. So we had estimated like $135 per capita last year, and that was based on what IML and the state had thought that it was going to be. State revenues for income taxes continue to exceed expectations for the past few years and have not regressed to mean. So we're budgeting for what IML says is reasonable. They are conservative in that estimate, and they're already seeing actuals that are higher than that. But for our purposes, we're going to keep that dollar amount. Building permits. If you look at the revenues in there, it's several hundred thousand dollars. We are continuing to basically offset our community development operational costs with building permit revenues, and then anything above that cost gets dumped into a capital fund for one-time purchases. That fiscal year 23 number, which is extremely high, does not include the Bright Farms building permit yet. So they still have not paid their actual building permit, which could be a couple hundred thousand dollars on top of that. So. Additionally, any other projects that come to us, industrial, warehousing, even big box retailers, to the extent that one lands here, you know, you could be looking at building permits that are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, or if you get a large manufacturing entity, could be in the millions of dollars without issue. And that is based on research that we've seen in other towns and incentive agreements that have been caught but have not touched building permits. So, that is a potential opportunity for increased revenue depending on how the community grows. Investment earnings, interest rates are up, which is bad for bond issuances, but it's great for us when we have cash in the bank. So we are generating $200,000, so Rob has estimated at fiscal year 23. So that's a significant dollar, so that's great. And then again, on the expenditure side, we go through and we make assumptions across a variety of departments. commodities, so gasoline, electricity, natural gas, et cetera. We try to be conservative with those. We budget for professional development for staff. We have tuition reimbursement for a couple people that's been approved for our employee policy. I wanted to note that IMRF rates, which is our employer contribution into the pension system for general city employees, is way down because they've had a good few years, and it is almost fully funded, or some years it is fully funded. And so our percentage is, you know, 5 percentage points lower on a couple $1 million in staff salaries, each year over the past couple years. So that is a good savings, too. So health insurance, we're going to review that tomorrow night at admin. We actually just got the materials in this morning. Rob has drafted them. Blue Cross Blue Shield is coming at a 4% renewal rate. We've budgeted for 8, so that's a little bit of savings there, too, which is great. And then I just wanted to note, cleaning expenditures will be estimated for the new building. What we thought, we still have to bid that out. We have to, you know, do the scope and all that. So that number is a little conceptual. In the departments, on the staffing requests, just walking through them, we talked about the utility billing clerk slash accountant in fiscal year 24. We need to cross-train employees on a variety of functions. And then we've got a new ERP, which is Enterprise Resource Program, which is all of our computer systems that do building permits and HR and utility billing and all those things in the next couple years. Police officers, we have to keep up with population growth, so we try to, you know, peg that to a couple officers per 1,000 people or thereabouts. And so as we grow, we need to add officers. And then we've got an evidence custodian, so we have a nice new evidence warehouse in our new police station that is going to be taking in, evidence from a variety of issues. Needs to be categorized properly, et cetera, so it's going to be more work because it's more space, more things. And then additionally, a police records clerk in fiscal year 26, just with anticipated growth, they're going to need people to help them on the admin side. Talked a little bit about the Planner 1 in community development. Again, we laid off that position, I think, in 2009, and have not rehired it since then. Christy and I talked about the workload and what the current staff is doing. They're having trouble keeping up with existing land use applications, so even something as simple as the Heartland Circle development agreement, which was in front of you tonight, still takes tens of hours to discuss on our end, to negotiate with the developer, et cetera. And so anything that is anything larger than a smaller subdivision can be tens or hundreds of hours for us to go through and negotiate and make sure all those little points in the agreement are locked tight for us. So we're proposing a Planner 1. That way some of the more administrative work in Christie's department can be done by this person, freeing Christie and her other staff up to do higher level things as they come in front of us. So additionally, just wanted to point out, we had an issue a couple years ago where our outsourced inspection costs were growing at too high of a rate. So we hired a couple inspectors, and that outsourced inspections amount has gone way down. So it's practically zero this year. There might be some things here and there that we have to do, but for the most part, it's completely reverted to a normal dollar amount. A couple part-time seasonal streets department employees in the streets department, so 1,000 hours each, so they'll probably pay $15 to $20 an hour, depending on the market. And then in admin services, we do have contingency. We've got our ERP system still funded. We've had it funded for a couple years, just haven't had the time to basically embark on that project yet, but we will. We do not have the purchasing manager, which was a shared position in there. We chose to cut that after our last purchasing manager left us. And then facilities manager, which we're in the process of hiring a Yorkville-only facilities manager. The shared position will end in fiscal year 24, and then it'll show up in a different fund in fiscal year 25. And then a GIS consortium. So one of the Christie's requests for staffing in the department head meetings that we had was for like a GIS employee. And so we had looked at it, and the general premise is that either EEI or Christie or Jason Engberg, who's our senior planner, are spending a fair amount of time doing, mapping, GIS requests, et cetera. So there's actual work that is being done that can be done by a lower level employee, save a little bit of money there. But then also there's things that they're just not getting to that can help us with decision making, both at the city council and staff level, operationally, if we had somebody to do it. So during one of our shared services discussions with Oswego, they were looking at a similar employee. And so we had actually run paths with Scott Keppel, who's a county administrator, who used to be their IT director, and has a wealth of knowledge on IT and GIS systems. they have a very robust, very good GIS department. And so we had talked about the shared services model that we've done with Oswego, implementing that in Kendall County, basically giving Kendall County a set amount of dollars, giving Yorkville and Oswego access to hours, minimum, not just that employee, but actually their entire staff, and then tracking that. And then basically we would get access to four or five employees of varying skills and expertise, instead of just hiring, you know, a GIS person and sticking them in Christie's department. So that is a proposal I know that you're going to want to hear. There's a lot of details that still have to be worked out, including whether Kendall County actually wants to do it or not. So we have to have that conversation still, but the concept has been floated, seems to work out, we think, and so we're proposing that these as a placeholder in this budget proposal. So all that being said, that's just your general fund. Again, it's a surplus deficit of zero, so a balanced budget, a $23 million revenue and expenditure. So a couple other funds, motor fuel tax funds, that's our gas taxes we get in from the state. Those are continuing to increase. Salt prices were average in fiscal year 23, so the current year, but it's been a mild winter. Knock on wood, I think we're out of the, you know, out of the weeds there this year. We'll see. We have money left over and salt allocation left over that we can then save until next year and actually save that money too that we didn't buy any salt for next year's salt purchase. And then I just wanted to memorialize our Route 47 expansion through downtown. We made that last payment in fall of 22. That was a significant undertaking and really a gift from the state. When we were having fiscal issues, we didn't know how we were going to pay for $3 or $4 million with local improvements in 2010, 2011. When the state said, we recognize you're having trouble, we're going to give you a 0% payment plan for 10 years, we just paid it off. So that was a significant accomplishment, I think, for the city. All right, on to Citywide Capital Fund. We've got the road repaving. We're on a wait list for a grant. We did not include the subdivision cluster, as I mentioned. Route 47 Northern Expansion is in there, Kennedy Road. We've got Grand Reserve Developer Funds that are being accrued in an escrow account. And when they get to a certain level, we will pull the trigger and do those road improvements. And so some of those might actually come up here yet this year. And then in the next fund, Building and Grounds Fund, again, we've got our Public Works Building Construction in there, both the construction and the bounds. And then we do have our Yorkville and the Facilities Manager and Existing Building and Grounds Worker. So on the Vehicle Equipment Fund, so this is going to be Fund 25, we have a bunch of revenue coming in from developer funds, which go to different departments and need to be discussed by different boards. And then sale of public works capital, if you approve the purchases of all the dump trucks and mowers and backhoes and all the things that we have in the budget, as we receive those things, we would propose to dispose of them at that time. That will require a separate city council vote. We are planning for that. We wanted to show it within the budget. That way, we're caught off guard years from now. And then our vehicle maintenance services department, as I mentioned, bring that in house potentially fiscal year 27 to get into public works facility. So, and then on the department side on vehicles, police, these are full vehicle replacements, multiple squads per year, including a critical incident response vehicle. So we've done a little bit of disaster emergency management response training in the past year, determined that we thought that it would be beneficial to have a vehicle on the ready that could be used at public events for parks and recreation operational purposes, but would be staffed and ready to go in case if there's a tornado or something else that, you know, our emergency responding staff aren't going through and searching for things, trying to come up with lists of things they need. Sorry, you have the vehicle, they're basically jumping in. Hopefully respond appropriately. Public Works, again, full replacement schedule. So dump trucks, bucket trucks, all of these things, as they come up on their useful lifespan, we're funding their replacements. Doesn't always mean that we're going to do it, and I would anticipate that at some point in the next couple years, you know, when we have vehicles that aren't 15 or 17 years old, in some cases, if they're only 7 years old and that's the useful lifespan, we may delay those, you know, by a year or two, depending on the condition of the trucks. We have a quantitative analysis, or qualitative analysis, that we do of each vehicle based on the age, repair history, etc. Scoring system that we then review that makes recommendations on whether something should be replaced or not. And so we will still continue to do that, but we're funding for the worst case scenario of each one of those departments. Again, on the playground side, these are the list of all the parks. parts that we've got in the budget, similar situations to vehicles. This is when the useful lifespan of those playgrounds is expected to be up. So we have certified playground inspectors that will go through, they'll take a look at things and say, you know, this is in pretty good shape, we can hold off for a year or two, or no, this needs to be done now. So each one of those things are going to come up and be analyzed and recommended by staff on a one-by-one basis. And then land acquisition, I talked about the park facility, that's in there. So we put a grab number in there for you know, some unidentified land acquisition by parks and recreation based on revenues that they've received that need to be spent on land. And so the park board will need to go through and make a recommendation before you guys do. Okay, out of the water fund, reminder, we still have our water policy decision, which is our place of meeting tax for staggered water rate increase. It's shown in there as a water policy decision line item. All the Lake Michigan stuff we talked about, full capital improvement plan, including Well 6, which I will call Well 6 probably for the next couple weeks, but the state notified us today that we have to go sequentially in order, and so that actually needs to be Well 10, so don't get confused when you see that down the road. Our standby generator and then public works building, all costs are included in the water fund. So, and then just a note on the TIFs, and then I'll be done. Countryside is still upside down. So the good news is that the Station 1 Smokehouse lot is one of the last vacant properties within the Countryside TIF. Should generate tens of thousands of dollars in TIF increment that will go to, you know, absorb the losses that will incur based on previous bond issuances and failed economic development deals. But our city's general fund can absorb that negative fund equity in fiscal year 29, fiscal year 30, if the city council chooses to. Saying nothing of a TIF extension or some sort of new project that comes along, but we're just not planning for any of this. So, and then additionally, just as an update, the banquet facility that is stubbed out and has a concrete pad next to the hotel, there is still no active permit on it. There's no construction schedule, so we will see how that goes for the next few years. And then downtown TIF 1 and 2, the budget doesn't show any projects in there. Our approach has been as developers come to the city, and city council approves them, then we estimate those and include them in the budget. So Pat Harper and the group that was here a few months ago in front of city council and introduced themselves, for budget purposes, we're assuming they do nothing. Obviously, when they bring us something, and it's substantial, hopefully, we'll update the budget figures accordingly. But for the most conservative purpose, we're assuming no action there, and so we'll address that later. So the good news is, though, that TIF 2, which we created a few years ago, is actually generating tens of thousands of dollars in TIF increment. So there's a little bit of a pot of money there that can be, one, used to offset the negative fund balance in TIF 1, which is caused by our purchase of the Van Emmon Activity Center a few years ago. That's assuming we don't sell it, obviously. Or two, it could be dedicated for new projects in TIF 2 as things come up. So we have some flexibility there. So that's it. That's my presentation. Here's the schedule again, in case you wanted to do it. We are planning on putting the budget discussion at the end of the agenda on March 28th. We have a little bit of a compressed time schedule, so you'll get a chance to debate, ask questions. Rob may have some budget updates by then. And then it has to be approved at some point, either at the April 13th or the April 27th meeting this year. Actually, I think that's the 11th and the 25th, but I think I updated that wrong. Whatever the second and fourth Tuesdays are. If anybody's interested, we do have our full budget proposal, including Excel spreadsheet, available at this link above. That's all. Happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Questions for Bart? Yes.
Just one thing. You had a slide with the mayors.
Yeah.
Be very cautious because money was cheap in those years, so it was much easier to have a positive outlook versus where interest rates are at now. That's something that caught my eye right off the
bat. Yeah, for sure. That's a good point.
Any other questions for Bart? Yes.
When we're looking at the future for the public works building, you mentioned that it's funded through three different sources, streets, water, sewer. If we have the service bay and the maintenance, why would we not work for public or the police department to be developed as any vehicles are going to be maintained?
That is an excellent point. And I guess I probably wasn't descriptive that needed to be within that bullet point. We do have chargebacks tentatively planned in each one of those departments. So it's an indirect way of funding it, and it is in there. At dollar amounts, we've guest at this point. Yeah. So that would be a proposal. We would stick a placeholder in there as long as everybody is okay with it. And then you would actually have to approve a future budget proposal that has not only the staff, but you know, how operationally we're going to handle it, build it out, et cetera, which would include all those chargebacks.
Any other questions?
For staffing, if we consider an HR primary director or something instead of a shared staff position?
I have considered that. It does not leave my budget cut list next. Although we do a 5-year budget, we reassess things every year, and sometimes things come up mid-year. So I would say that that is probably not far off the list for being one of our next hires. It's just we haven't proposed it.
Anything else, Chris?
I'm sure I'll have more.
Well, yeah.
That's a good thing.
All right. Everybody else good? Thanks, Bart. Additional business. Citizens' comments. No? All right. Cool. We don't have an executive session, do we?
Nope.
All right. A motion to adjourn. Second. Roll call, please.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Of course.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.